This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show. My name is Eric Peterson. I am here with my good buddy, Danny Jordan.
Yo.
We are live coming to you from Southern California. We can say that much. We can disclose our location.
By the end of the season, we're going to give you the zip code, the exact unit coordinates.
Yeah. And we got our good buddy Chris Sisley coming to us live from Brooklyn, BK. With his sweet haircut. We haven't really talked about Chris's new awesome haircut.
I do like it.
He's showing off his frocks right now. Chris had very long hair all last season.
That's true.
Like past the shoulders, right?
Yeah, it was super, super long. Yeah.
But now he's got a very cool hipster New Yorker haircut.
I'm probably a month and a half overdue for a haircut.
It looks good right now, though.
But it had been like 3 years since I'd gotten one previously, and I don't know if inflation has gotten a hold of like
barbershops,
salons and stuff, but it's like $50 to get a haircut.
It is wild, though, when you look at what it costs for a man to get a haircut versus a woman to get a haircut. Because I'll go to the barbershop and I'll be like, oh my God, it was $45 for this haircut. And Lisa's like, it cost me $200 to go to the salon. And that's just for a basic like trim, maybe a little touch up of like highlights or something. It's
wild. But anyway, this is quickly we're becoming haircut countdown over here, which I don't feel like I'm qualified to host whatsoever.
We'll jump back into it. Welcome to Christmas Countdown, everybody. We are still here. But yes, this is episode number 7.
Wow.
Season 3.
How did we get here so quickly?
It's wild.
We're almost halfway through.
I know. This is airing on November 6th.
Yes.
So we are past Halloween. We are truly in the season.
We need like some sort of sound effect that like announces.
Or like confetti cannons.
Yeah. Or like snow.
Ooh, that'd be good.
And snow cannon.
We could just get a snow machine that does like the bubbles, but it looks like snow as it falls. And every time something is like festive, we just press that button. You'd probably hear on the podcast,
first time you test it out, it just blasts it all in our faces.
we're just covered in soap.
Or we could do where theaters will do like that thing overhead.
That is really, I know exactly what Danny's talking about. And some people
might
not
really
know.
Which is really good for an audio medium.
Yes. We'll describe it. When it snows on stage, they have essentially like a big, almost like a trough of snowflakes, which are usually cut up pieces of plastic.
Is that what they are?
Oh, yeah.
I always wondered what it was.
It's terrible because when I did Elf, they would make it snow at the end, and I would always get like the plastic in my mouth.
Oh, and you would breathe it
in. And I'm trying to sing, and I'd
heard
inhale.
It's really good to ingest plastic.
Oh, that's what I've heard. It's good for you. No fun. I remember I would sing, and sometimes I would like purposefully be leaning like forward and down to try to protect my mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, because if I just sung like this with my head, back and the way that you should do a musical,
down
I'm just like
plastic shrapnel.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Nasty.
Sounds amazing.
But yeah, but what they do is they put it in a little trough and it has like a little tiny slit in it. And they basically just like at a nice little tempo, they kind of shake it and then just enough falls out and it really does look like snowflakes.
Some union member is standing backstage making sure that trough just shakes.
And that's his one job.
So what do you do?
I'm a snow guy.
Trough shaker.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that? It's a specialty. I went to school for it.
Yeah.
A lot of practice of trough shaking in my life.
This episode, we should tell them what we're counting down today.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good one. Today, we are counting down our top five. We're doing top five this week, and we'll tell you why. Our top five international foods and beverages that we would like to try at the holiday season.
It's the shortest title we've ever had. I got to figure out a way to like really cull
that down.
International
foods and beverages that Danny and Eric have never tried but would be willing to try if they were in these particular countries at the holidays in the year 2023.
Semicolon. It's going to be so much fun and we're so glad you're here. Oops, we ran out of characters.
The musical.
Yes, in Spanish. It's going to be great and we're going to have so much fun and you're going to come along with us. But I'm excited for this one. We haven't done a food countdown.
Not yet.
Yet this season. And we always love like talking about the food because food is so central.
Absolutely.
To the holiday season. And, there's so many people all around the world. We're so fortunate that we have all these listeners, 183 countries and counting. We've almost checked every country off the list, which
is wild. We should find out which countries we've not gotten yet.
Yes.
And tailor our
and just go there.
Just like go do a live episode in the streets and be like 184
next country 185.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll write it off.
But there's so many of you who reach out to us, and we get a lot of DMs, you know, from people who are like, "Oh, you've got to try insert, you know, this food item that we consume here or this beverage that we consume here." And so that inspired us. You all, you reaching out to us on social media, sending us emails, you compelled us to do this countdown today, which I'm so excited for. My stomach, I feel like, is already grumbling just thinking of all the deliciousness that we're going to talk about.
I'll be honest. I'm excited for this list, but I am not a terribly adventurous eater.
Oh, really?
No.
I didn't know that about you.
I have a good buddy who always refers to me and he says, "Oh, here comes Eric Peterson and his pedestrian palate." And I'm like, because I really am like a meat and potatoes, cheeseburger, pizza kind of guy.
Oh my gosh.
So a lot of these things, as I was doing research for, some of them sound great and that's why they're on my list.
Yes.
But there were quite a few that I was like, I can see how one would be excited to try this.
So like babinka is not going to be on your list.
I don't think so.
From the Philippines.
You know, one of the big problems is a lot of the things that I found in my research have nuts in them.
Mm.
And I'm just not, you're not a big fan
nut
of nuts.
Guy.
Not a nut
What
guy.
About if you go to like a baseball game? Do you not eat peanuts?
I do like peanuts and I like peanut butter.
Okay.
And I like a cashew.
Right.
But like pecans, almonds.
You're not a pecan guy.
Walnuts.
So like when you're walking around, like I was recently just on a trip, which we'll get to here in a second. I was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Small town of Bradford, Pennsylvania, which is where one of our sponsors from last season, Zippo, is based. And I was walking, you know, just like strolling through the streets, and this smell started just wafting into my nose.
Like the cooked nut smell?
Yes. And I looked to my left, and there was a chocolate shop.
Ooh.
And I walked in, and I was like, "Woo!" I was like, "Something intoxicating is going on in here." She goes, "I just turned on the fan." And I was like, "You are not a rookie. You know exactly what you are doing." And she had just roasted cashews, almonds, and pecans. So like, you've lived in New York a lot. At the holiday season, when you're walking around, are you not a nut cart person?
No, I would never buy anything from them. I enjoy the smell. Yeah. I can recognize like, oh, that smells cozy and warm and nice. I wouldn't choose to eat it.
Mm. I brought home a bag of each and I ate maybe like a quarter of what I bought.
I don't know that I've ever had a roasted nut.
What?
In any capacity.
We have to make that happen.
Because even like the cashews, I like just like super salty plain cashews.
Oh, we've got to make that happen, Eric.
We should.
Oh, okay, it's happening.
I'm more
this
willing
season.
To try nuts than I am coffee.
What if we do a blind taste test?
Okay.
And what could be behind that is either coffee or roasted nut. What about roasted nut coffee?
Oh, good.
Starring Eric Peterson.
I can't.
The musical in Spanish.
I can't do it.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, Eric, fall is here.
It is.
And I know that fall technically starts in September, which I was sort of shocked by. I was looking this up the other day because on this trip to Pennsylvania that I went on, I was driving. Have you ever been to like northern, like upstate New York or like northern Pennsylvania in the fall?
Yeah. Beautiful.
You talked about this, I think, earlier this season about how people will just travel
to like New England and stuff.
To go see the leaves. That's like all they're doing. And I was like, that seems a little interesting.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, that drive from Buffalo,
it's magical,
down to Bradford, Pennsylvania was magical. And it got me thinking. I was like, I need autumn music right now.
Yeah.
And so I went to Spotify and it was like Spotify was in my brain because it was a suggested album. When I opened up Spotify, was an album called Autumn by Nat King Cole.
What?
Yes. Have
what?
You seen this?
No, I'm pulling it up right now.
Wait till you see the artwork. And I want everyone, wherever you're listening, if you're driving, don't do it right now. We'll wait until you get somewhere safe. But if you're on the train, and especially if you're listening on Spotify, and if you are listening on Spotify, make sure you are rating us there. And if you're listening on Apple as well, please make sure you rate and review wherever you are listening to the show. But there is this new album out by Nat King Cole called Autumn.
Is it on Spotify?
It's on Spotify. It's just called Autumn. It came out. It's actually a compilation, it looks like, of like autumn-themed songs that Nat King Cole and the Nat King Cole Trio have recorded. And look at the artwork on this.
Oh.
Do you see that?
Oh,
it is just
beauteous.
Orange and yellow and red and all the colors of leaves that you want in autumn. And this is what I saw when I was driving, I can't remember the name of the forest I was driving through from Buffalo down to Pennsylvania. It wasn't
probably going through the Hudson Valley a little bit.
It wasn't the Adirondacks. It was
the Allegheny.
Allegheny.
Look at John.
John Ewing is here.
The voice of God. Very good.
You have to, whenever you come in from now on, you got to go the Allegheny. Like you got to come in real deep with it. Okay.
I'm a GOB winner in eighth grade, so I know
what's
my geography.
GOB?
What does that even mean?
Geography B.
Oh,
whoa. Yeah. Okay. Whoa,
GOB in the house. We got a gob with us.
I like
everybody.
That. Do you play? I love to play the geo guessing game. Do you know that?
No, but it sounds like I'd like it.
Oh, dude, you've got to get in. Do you know what this is?
No.
Okay. There are people that are like professionals at this.
Okay.
Basically, it's an app. I think it's just called geoguesser.com.
Okay.
And it will drop, it gives you a random Google Street View of somewhere in the world.
Whoa.
And it's, I mean, it is random. It will be like a random street in Iowa.
Okay.
It's like a suburban street.
Okay.
And then the game of it is like these people, the really good ones can get it like within a second. They just have mastered what are the license plates look like? What are, you know, different landmarks to look for? Because you don't get to move. You can spin 360, but you can't move
go up
from
the
that
block,
spot. Right.
You can't go higher up.
And
okay.
So there's also an app, but you can do it. And then you like go against people, and then it's whoever can get closer
Whoa.
To where the actual pin is. It's a very fun way to kind of waste a
can
few hours.
Can you like filter it so maybe we only want towns that have to do with the holidays? Like,
I don't know if you could
do that.
That sounds great. You can definitely filter it to like major landmarks or like just North America. But
I can chime in a little bit. I play GeoGuessr all the time. It's really fun. You could actually set up your own specific games. And in that game, you could have it just be like places where there are holiday markets all over the world.
Oh my
like
gosh.
In Germany.
That sounds awesome.
I want to do
We should
this.
Set this up as a game for our listeners.
Yeah. Oh, you know, here's an idea.
Yeah.
Patreon. You know how we like to do these live hangouts with all of our patrons. Maybe we play this game.
That'd be fun.
We should do a hangout here in the month of November, and we'll play GeoGuessr. You know, whoever wins gets like some sort of prize.
Yeah. They get the album Autumn from Nat King Cole.
Ooh, if we'll send it to them on Spotify. I don't know if you can actually buy it physically, but we do have a bunch of prizes.
Yes.
This feels like a good time to announce this. I feel like there's four segments I want to do right now, but I'm just going to choose this one.
Sure.
And that is, last season, we did like a big giveaway, right? Of all these prizes for everyone who subscribed to the show as a paid subscriber on Instagram, Patreon, paid subscriber on Apple and Spotify. For every dollar of support you gave us for the holiday season was an entry. And we had all these prizes, right?
Yep.
So I think we take one of those prizes, and I'm just going to pick one at random right now. I just got a Mickey Mouse gingerbread Funko Pop.
Yep.
Which, fun fact, it's number 1225, December 25th.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's special.
So I think that'll be the prize for our hangout that we do with the patron.
I like that.
People. So if you are wondering what we are talking about with this Patreon thing, there's a link in the episode notes, or you can go to patreon.com, look up Christmas Countdown Show. You can join. You're not only going to get a ton of bonus content, but you get access to a private community on Facebook of Christmas lovers like you. We do these live hangouts. You also get a discount on merchandise, all that sort of fun stuff. So make sure you check that out, and then you could potentially win a prize.
Amazing.
Which is super exciting.
Amazing.
But let's go back to this Nat King Cole thing real quick. So I just want to play, can I just play one quick little Nat King Cole track? I'm going to play you, this song is called Autumn Leaves. Are you ready for it?
I think I know this one. They're falling.
They've landed on the ground.
Yeah.
The falling leaves.
Yeah. This is a spectacular.
Isn't that so good?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys.
Do you know where I've heard
need
that
to get
song
on that
a
album?
Lot?
Where?
A lot of people on social media have been doing the Wes Anderson filter.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Right? And like a lot of times, especially in New York at Autumn, people will just have these random shots of like, you know, Central Park or just a random street down in Tribeca, and like there's no like subject of the video. It's just very, you know, landscape kind of looking stuff, but they'll play that song and then they put that sort of autumn feel. I said autumn? Why did I say that like that?
It's how autumn, it should be said.
Autumnal. An autumn filter on it, and it looks really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You asked about autumn-like songs, why are there not more autumn songs?
Yeah.
I literally had one just this morning come across my Facebook.
Oh, really?
From Ben Rector. It's a very short one.
Oh my gosh.
We love Ben Rector.
Is it a comedy one?
It's kind of a comedy one. It's very good. But
he's been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, he does. He does these short little, like, literally 7-second songs where he poses questions and stuff.
Yes, I want to hear it.
All right, let's see if I can get this to play. Whoops. Here, I'm going to start it over.
What if there were Halloween carols? Have yourself a creepy Halloween time. And some candy too. Buy too much, eat it on subsequent afternoon.
It's so good.
That's so funny.
He's so great.
I love his stuff. And I love that he's just doing this music sort of like sitting in his living room or whatever. And they're like really short, like 15-second clips. And most of them are so like good. Very tongue-in-cheek and very very funny. But I was listening to this Nat King Cole music as I was driving down to Pennsylvania. And I did this thing with Zippo Lighters, which was a ton of fun. And as I was driving, I went through this town called Ellicottville.
Ooh, great.
Have you ever
name.
Heard of this? Yeah. Amazing name. So it's in upstate New York and it literally feels, I posted this on our Instagram, but it literally feels like a Hallmark Channel movie set in real life. And they have this place there called Holiday Valley.
Mm.
And it's like
a shop or like an area of town.
It's basically, I don't know if it's technically part of Ellicottville, but it's like at the, I guess it would be at the southern point of Ellicottville, and it's a snow resort. It's a ski resort.
Cool.
And I was just like, this feels like exactly the type of place I would love to go at the holiday season. You know, we talked about that last year. Like, oh, where would you want to go for the holidays?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you got to go there. But while I was in Pennsylvania doing this thing with Zippo, I got you guys a little gift.
What?
That I wanted to share with you all
John's
today.
Excited too.
Yeah. So
all right, here we what go. Do you got here?
It's a little something.
Okay.
First, let's start with this. So I was walking down Main Street in
Ellicottville?
In Bradford.
Okay.
Bradford, PA. And they had a shop called Main Street Mercantile.
Love it.
And I walked into this shop and I said to the proprietor, I said, this looks like the type of place that has Christmas stuff.
Hello, good sir.
Hello, my lady. And she goes, We got a little bit.
Okay.
And she was like, I just shut everything down upstairs. Can you just go upstairs, just turn the switch on? And so I go upstairs, I turn on the switch. Eric, is the most Christmas stuff I've ever seen in a room in my life. I was expecting like a snow globe,
right.
Maybe like a tattered tree or something like that. And so I went.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Was she saying it to you sarcastically because she knew there was a ton of stuff? Or do you think she legitimately felt like that was not a lot of Christmas stuff?
I still don't know. All I knew was that her definition of a little bit of stuff was very different from my definition of a little bit of stuff.
Okay.
So I went into this room and I got a little something for the studio.
Okay.
First and foremost, I got this.
Believe in the magic of Christmas. I love that. We love a little sign.
It was we'll like $7.
Yeah. We'll put it right here for right now, but we'll put it eventually on the
somewhere else
on the wall.
And then, you know, I look at your tree a lot.
Sure.
When we're here in the studio, and I was like, I feel like I maybe have a couple more ornaments than you.
Okay.
So I wanted to fill your tree up a little, like Eric. That. So I got you this cute little ornament.
Let's see. Oh, how cute. It's a little pail, like a pail. I don't know. I was trying to describe that more exactly, but it's just a pail, and it is filled with like candy cane lollipops.
Isn't that cute?
And you know what it reminds me of is our little pail with the jingle bells.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I love
it. So I got you that one. And then I got you this one that like felt like very you, because you love to wear like Christmas sweaters.
I do. Ooh. You know why I like this one, Danny? This is a nice like wood cutout of a Christmas sweater. This snowman looks like the snowman from We're Walking Through the Air. It's that same kind of snowman look. You can see if you're familiar with the snowman.
Yeah.
You'll recognize
it. I thought you might like that one. I like the wire.
I love
sort
that.
Of like
I'm going to hang that. That one will be easy to hang. I can turn into it.
Okay. And then inside here, I got a little something for you and the boys.
Okay.
So let's see. That's for you.
Okay.
And then I'm going to toss this one. Let's see if I can get this to Johnny without knocking all the cameras down. Tossing to John.
Very
Johnny
nice.
Johnny got his. And then Chris, I got yours here as well, my friend.
Oh, dude,
so
sweet.
So open these up, guys.
It is a very nice Zippo lighter with our name engraved on it. And the year, dude, that's awesome.
Now, what's really cool is this was, they need fuel in them. Yeah, you can't travel with fuel. Oh. I traveled with like 9 lighters and I was like, if I load these all up with fuel, I feel like I'm going to get arrested.
That's amazing.
So this is the 1941 remake.
Nice.
This was the exact style they were making back in the early 40s. And so what inspired me to do this was Chris sent me a message that said, hey, I had a Zippo lighter when I was a kid, but my mom confiscated it.
Sure.
And I never got another one. And so I was like, well, I want to get the boys a little something to commemorate this year of Christmas Countdown. So I got us all matching lighters with our names engraved on the back.
You know, I watched a very random, I think it came across my feed in TikTok, an old Alfred Hitchcock short film, I guess, or I don't know if it was a TV special. And it was with Steve McQueen and Peter Lorre. And it was like this very Alfred Hitchcock kind of thing where Steve McQueen had a lighter and he kept like lighting this lighter in a little bar.
Yeah.
And Peter Lorre, who's, he's the guy who kind of talked like this, you know, he was a character actor from back in the day. He kind of comes up to him and he says, makes a bet with him saying, can you light your lighter 10 times without it failing?
Mm.
And Steve McQueen's like, yeah, it's a trusty lighter. Absolutely. I can do it. And he goes, well, are you willing to bet your pinky finger on it?
Whoa.
It's a very Hitchcocky kind of thing. And then it's pretty cool. It's only about like 12 minutes long. So
okay.
If you're into that kind of thing.
And does he use a Zippo
lighter?
It
doesn't officially say it's a Zippo, but it looks like a Zippo.
Looks a lot like a Zippo. Yeah. But yeah, I thought you guys would like this. You know, we're very much into like throwbacks and it's got that sort of classy look like you would expect, like, I don't know, like a businessman to carry in his like breast pocket.
Yeah.
I found out a fun fact. Did we talk about this? That Sinatra was buried with a Zippo lighter.
That's awesome.
A Zippo Slim, which he liked that because he could carry it in his breast pocket
and wouldn't see it.
Wouldn't see it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So just a little gift to, you know, say I appreciate you guys.
Hey, thank you very much.
My pleasure. And Chris, I'll get yours in the mail this week so you can finally have that lighter you wanted ever since childhood.
I love that.
Now my mom's going to hear this, and when she comes up next, she's going to confiscate it. So.
Where's that lighter, Christopher?
She kicks in the door.
Right? But speaking of gifts, we do have a fan gift that came in.
The gifts keep on coming.
They are, and we've got our mailbag here. Yep. Jingle, mailbag! Jingle, 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 jingle. Ho, 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 mailbag. That's the sound effect for mailbag. So this is coming to us from A. Rustic, who's out in Wisconsin.
Okay.
If this isn't packed full of Packer stuff, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Or cheese.
All right. So do you want to read the card?
I'll read the card.
A little card. We always got to do the card first.
All right. Have we talked about the etiquette of that you should always read the card first?
Like, I think we have, but if we haven't, that needs to happen, right?
I feel like sometimes my kids are like, well, I just want to open it. I'll read the card after. I'm like, no, you got to, and give the card its due time.
Because the kids get so eager, especially when the card's like buried like all the way at the bottom. Yeah.
All right. It says Season of Thanks. A very pretty card. Hallmark card.
Hey. There you go. Shout out.
It says, whole season brighter, whole heart happier, and thanks to you both. Happy holidays. Eric and Danny, Merry Christmas. Thank you for all the joy you bring to my favorite time of the year. The podcast really is one of my favorite traditions. Can't wait for Season 3. Anna Rustic.
And
it says, P.S. The gift is something for each of you to bring Christmas cheer from Wisconsin.
Ooh.
All right. Let's see what Wisconsin has to offer.
Cheeseheads. Come on. New cheeseheads.
Cheese curds. Cheese curds.
There's bubble wrap in here.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Packers. I can tell it's Packers.
Wait. This one's got to be for me because it's definitely Packers. Let's see if that one's for you.
Oh,
I hope they're both Packers.
Anna, if you do this, if you do me dirty.
Look at this.
Oh, no.
Is it Packers?
No, but mine is so good. Talk about yours first.
Okay. So,
that's a good ornament.
It is Santa Claus standing with what sort of looks like the North Pole.
Sure.
But rather than saying North Pole, it says go Packers.
Sure.
And then on it, there's a letter to Santa that says, dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is a Packers win.
That's pretty good.
And unfortunately,
it might not come
Santa's
this year.
Not delivering so far this season. But Anna, this is so, so awesome. Thank you so, so much. Oh my gosh, I love this.
Okay, dude, mine is so good.
Okay.
This is, thank you, Anna. I'm saying this before I even tell people. It is a wood, very beautiful wood carved ornament. And it's got a big old cow on it.
Oh my
gosh. You know how I love them cows.
That's perfect.
Oh, Anna, that is so, Spectacular.
Yep.
That's thoughtful. From Nestled Pines Woodworking. A little shout out for them.
Because she easily could have put a Packers thing in there.
She could have.
To like rub it in your face.
She really could have.
She hit it.
That was very kind of you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm going to hang this on my tree if I can get this staple out of here. But that's so thoughtful. If you want to send us a Christmas card to, you know, put up here in the studio, or if you have like a little gift that's like local to your region, you can send it to us.
Yeah.
Just send us an email, kringle@christmascountdownshow.com, or you can DM us on social media. We are at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and at Xmas Pod on Twitter. But I love this ornament. This is going up immediately. I got to find a sturdy branch because this one's hefty, Eric.
Yeah.
There we go.
There
please
it
don't
is.
Fall. Please don't fall. I'm going to have to adjust that later, but at least it's there.
It'll survive for the
episode. It'll survive for this episode.
There we go.
So thank you, Anna. That's so incredibly thoughtful.
While we're talking about fans, we got a few reviews.
Let's do
since
it.
Since last episode, we love to read reviews. As always, you can rate and review us on Apple, Spotify, send us a DM. We will get to it. All right, I'll read this first one here. This is from Petra.
Petra,
who follows us on Instagram, and she said, "Hi, guys, and greetings from Finland.
Ooh.
Finland, the home of Santa." I'm so bad. I have to go into the accent.
Was that a Finnish?
A Finnish accent. It's not exact. It's starting to get a little German.
What was the accent I was trying to do? Was it season one? And I went and like studied it and tried to get better at it.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Was it Norwegian or
it was
Dutch
something
or
like that. It was
whatever
a Scandinavian
it was.
One.
I was horrible at it.
Yeah,
I know for sure.
All right. So it says, "Hi guys and greetings from Finland, the home of Santa. I just found you and I want to thank you for making my fall so much better with your podcast. I am such a huge Christmas person and I feel like I have found my people."
Aww.
That is the truth. Petra, thank you so much for being a listener. Thank you for sending in a review. Danny, you want to read the next one there?
I do. Next up we have, this is coming to us from Spinone Lover at Couch.
What do you think Spinone is?
At first, when I thought it said spine lover, and I was like, "Oh,
big
is this
fan of my back
at couch." And I was like, "Oh, is it like a chiropractor?"
Sure, okay,
because they're at the couch and they're a spine lover. But maybe spin one lover
spin
at couch.
One? Maybe they're into the Peloton, like the biking.
Ooh,
spin,
and they ride it next to their couch.
Yeah,
or they ride it, then they hop on the couch to rest afterwards.
Could be that too.
Speaking of, did you see? I don't know if you saw this. This is breaking news, fans, friends. Okay. There's a very iconic Peloton instructor who started engaging in our content recently. Oh. My favorite instructor.
Cody?
Leanne Hainsby.
Which one's she?
She's the one from England.
Okay, yeah.
Her and her fiance, Ben.
Yeah.
She like started commenting on our reels and was like tagging her mom in.
Nice.
And I was like, hashtag done and dusted. I was like all over it. She's like from one festive, you know, lover to another.
That's
you know,
great.
Happy holidays, all that sort of stuff. I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, Leanne, if you're listening, maybe this is Leanne. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anyway, this person, the title of the review is just 5 golden stars. It's literally the emojis for 5 golden stars. And this person went on to say, "So funny. Love the Christmas vibes. Listen to it when I walk to school. Me and my dog listen to it all the time. Worth all 5 golden stars.
5 golden stars.
Yeah. Love. I love that this person listens to it with their dog.
Yeah.
So shout out to your dog.
Yeah.
Christmas. Maybe their dog's name is Spin One Lover and they're laying on the couch.
Maybe.
Maybe their dog's name is Spin One and they love it and that dog is on the couch.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like I can speak to dogs.
Do you?
I really do. Especially Basset Hounds. If I ever, I know this sounds super random and crazy, but I'm telling you, I've never owned a Basset Hound, but I've always identified with Basset Hounds as my favorite dog because I just
like
feel
your spirit animals.
Yeah,
sort of thing?
I just think I look kind of like a Basset Hound, and you know, it just the droopy eyes, it all works. And anytime I pass a Basset Hound on the street, and I'm talking anytime, I go. And that dog will turn every single time. I speak their language, I'm telling you. And then they'll kind of go, and I don't know what I'm saying, but I feel like I'm saying actual dog words.
What are you feeling when you say
I feel like
things?
I'm saying like, "What's up, buddy? Good to see you. How's your day going?" Very, very just sort of conversational.
And he's like, "Nobody's ever asked me that before."
Yeah.
"Do you want to adopt me?"
Yes.
And you don't understand what he's saying.
I'm like,
so you
I don't
go
know
on
what
to your day.
And I
he's
keep
like,
walking.
"No, he doesn't care about me."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Look, if you're a dog lover, you know that you talk to your dog in different ways than you talk to any other living being on the planet. Yeah. Like, I do to this day, started saying, like, I love you to my dog.
Sure.
But in a way that I thought she would understand. Like, rather than just saying, hey, Sammy, I love you, I'd be like, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten my dog, so Simon, I've gotten my dog to actually say it. He's come pretty close.
Really?
When I'm, if I'm holding like potato chips, he loves potato chips, which I don't give him, but no, I totally
But occasionally, he steals them from me. He steals them sometimes. Time.
But if I'm holding a potato chip and I kind of have to model it for him, I'll go, and he'll copy the cadence. He'll go, and he's like trying so hard. He's kind of shaking. He's like, I'm trying to speak English.
Do you think dogs think that, like, that they're
yes.
they're like, how do I talk to you?
Yes. Have you seen these the pads?
No.
Oh, Chris, John, have you guys seen the dog pads? Okay, you can get a thing, and I've seen it with multiple dogs. So this is not like one special dog to figure it out. It's like a little pad you put on the ground, and it has maybe 25 buttons on it.
Yeah.
Like a button about yay big, you know?
Okay.
Size of a large
softball.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll say like outside, food, sad, happy, like basic words. And a dog will go up and be like, outside now. And it will say exactly what, or it'll say like, why sad? And then it'll go up to the owner and like, so they absolutely are trying to communicate with us.
I want to get one of those.
Dude, watch some of these videos. It is amazing.
But now I'm like worried, like, what if my dog just keeps going sad, 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 sad.
Help,
help. You had children. You ruined my life.
Kick
it was
out
really
kids.
Great before them, sad. Kick out, kick.
Yeah. Kick out kids.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to say we're going down a rabbit hole, but.
A dog hole, really.
We went down a dog hole for sure. Anyway, that's what you get when you have a name like Spin One Lover at Couch.
Wow, that all came from there.
That all came from there. Anyway, thank you for the review, Spin
yes,
One Lover at Couch. We appreciate it.
And I got one more from underscore V-Babe.
V-Babe.
V-Babe. And they said, love Danny and Eric. Five Aww. Golden stars.
Yep.
This podcast is so fun to listen to and love the conversations they bring to each episode. It puts me in the holiday mood all year round.
Aww.
Thank you so much, V-Babe. That
V-Babe.
Is awesome.
I love that. So, Eric, we have all these people who leave us reviews, right?
Yeah.
And we love that. And if you're a person who's left us a review in the past, thank you. It makes us happy. And maybe you're someone who's been sitting on a review for a while. In the drafts. Just post it. We want to read it. As you have seen here or heard here today, we will share it with the world, 183 countries and counting. But another great way to connect with us and another great way to get a shout out is to join that Patreon that we were chatting about earlier. And we decided that in this episode, we wanted to name all the people who have recently joined our Patreon. Now, you've compiled that list. Do you want to shout out? That's people I think who've joined like in the last, I don't know, like three or
four
days.
Since like mid-October.
Yeah, yeah.
So really the start of season three here.
Okay.
We have Marianne. Hello. Jennifer. Merry Christmas. Marlon. Thanks for joining. Sarah. How you doing? Amelia. I'm going to run out of
pleasantries. I was like, are you coming up with something new for everyone?
I was like, I'm going to run out of pleasantries.
You kind of set that precedent.
I know. Amelia. Merry Christmas. Carolyn. How you doing? Happy holidays. Beth.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 Beth. Nicole, thanks for signing up. Evan, we love you. Straw Hat Rob. That's a good one.
Amazing name.
Merry Christmas, Straw Hat Rob. Great name. We were talking about this. It's a person, A-N-D-E, from the UK. Andy? Do we think it's Andy?
Ande? I think it's Andy.
Andy.
Andy? Consensus? Andy? Everyone, if you think in the studio, John, do you think it's Andy? Chris, do you think it's Andy? A-N-D-E?
Okay, Andy.
Everyone's got their hands
Merry
up.
Merry Christmas, Andy.
Yep.
Merry Christmas, Joseph. And Merry Christmas, Marianne.
Marianne.
Yeah.
Two Mariannes.
Two Mariannes. Start and the end.
Mary space Anne and then Marianne.
Marianne, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Maybe Ginger will join next time round.
That'd be good.
Maybe the professor, too. Who knows? Here on Christmas
sure,
Countdown
I'm sure they've
Isle.
Never heard that before.
She's like, that's what everyone says to me when they meet me. But thank you for signing up, supporting the show. It really does mean the world to us. We love it. Like, we get an email that comes through every time a new patron shows up. And the fact that, like, not only do you love listening to the show, but that you want even more content and you want to be a part of this, you know, community that keeps growing. It really fills our hearts. And I love, you know, every time we get a new person who signs up, we'll go and do like a post dedicated to that person or those people.
Introduce them to the group.
And there's this trend that started, I don't know who started it, maybe Chris knows, but last season, whenever we would intro somebody, everyone starts responding with like a fun GIF or GIF, however you want to say it, that relates to like hello or the Christmas season. And it's just so fun that every time someone new comes in, immediately like there's like 20 people who are like lining up to say like, welcome, we're so glad you're here, welcome home sort of thing. It's
Good stuff. Really cool,
welcoming group of people.
Danny, we got a suggestion from a fan for a countdown. And we may do this, but we're also going to just kind of like spitball it here right now, see if we could flesh this out.
I love that.
The suggestion was ways to celebrate pregnancies at the holidays or ways to celebrate new babies.
Ooh, that's fun.
The arrival of you know.
Like a child who's either has just arrived or is coming.
Or is coming.
I have a lot of thoughts on this because you know our
announced your pregnancy sort of at the holidays.
It was around the holidays and we had our first like 2 months before Christmas and we did something very very cool. Now do we want to save this for a countdown or do you want me to just
let's just talk about it now.
Okay, so one thing that my wife did with our first and our second, so Emerson and Riley, is she bought those like big clear ornaments you can get at like Michael's or Joann's or whatever that you can open up and put stuff inside of. And so she put inside of those clear ornaments their like hospital cap.
Nice.
And the little like wristband and anklet that they were wearing in the hospital. So we will, and it's, I love seeing those go up on the tree because, you know, Emmy's five now. Yeah. And to think that at some point her ankle was so skinny.
Tiny. Yeah.
That thing fit around there is really, really cute.
I think we have maybe like Sophie, it's like a ballet slipper, but it's like from when she was really little.
Yeah.
And that's on the tree. I guess cliche, but I definitely have a 1981 like Merry Christmas, First Christmas ornament that every time I see it, it's probably my favorite ornament. Like it brings me just so much nostalgia to really feel like, wow, this thing has been with me the whole way.
Yeah.
You know, start to finish, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think I shared season one or two that like my mom had sort of like called me and was like, hey, I think it's time for you to
get your ornaments,
get all your ornaments. But the ones that she didn't give to me were those really like keepsakey sort of ones. Like she has this one that's, I'm sure, similar to yours, which says like baby's first Christmas, 1982. And then in the middle of it, it's a frame. So it's me as a little baby, like around the time I had my first Christmas. That's cool. I think, you know, we're so sort of, I don't know, desensitized to like the value of a photo, I think, these days.
Because
you can just keep,
because we
take them. But I think the idea of like actually physically printing out a photo.
Yeah.
And not just buying, like if you want to go out and buy an ornament that's like a rocking horse or whatever, it says baby's first Christmas, do it. Yeah. But I think if you can do something that's more personal to like actually print out that photo, so 30 years from now, when your kid's coming over to your house for the holidays, that little baby picture is still there. I think that'd be something cool to do.
I think anything that you can do, and it's so hard when you have kids and as they get older and it's just life is life and it's busy and chaotic, but anything you can set up as a tradition for that first Christmas and then try to at least keep it through their 18th birthday, whether it's like a picture, we always take a picture of them sitting in front of the tree or on the fireplace or holding a certain present or something like that, doing a picture that is in the same spot every year so that when they're 18 you're like, whoa, you can show them all of those things. Or if it's, I'm trying to think what else you could do that would be, that is repeatable every year. You could do like one of those quizzes, you know, that they do sometimes with kids on first day of school. Like, how old are you? What do you want to be when you grow up? What's your favorite present?
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
What do you want from Santa?
What do you want from Santa? Yeah. And you do it like in the same way each year. Then you can put something like that together when they're older. And it really will feel like this sort of continuity of stuff.
Or could you like interview them like on Christmas Eve?
Yep.
Every year, like I love that. I feel like I saw this video that was trending on.
I saw that one too.
The dad who interviewed his daughter like every day on her first day of school.
Yep. Yeah,
I can't even talk about it because I'll start crying. He starts on like kindergarten and goes like all the way up through
college.
College.
Yeah,
and it's just like it's cool to see like or the child getting bigger, but like their relationship evolving,
yeah.
the quality of video is changing. Sure. There's so much that changes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you only get these opportunities once. So yeah. like, you know, the sooner you start, the better, because you'll have yes. more of it. Yeah. I love the idea of maybe like interviewing your child, you know, maybe in as you're putting spot. Out like yeah. milk and cookies yeah. or something, you know, on Christmas Eve yeah. or something. Might be kind of cool to do that.
I know I got, this isn't really the countdown that was asked, but I got my teddy bear on my first Christmas, who I call Teddy, and I still have that bear because it was yeah. it was a pretty big bear. I mean, it was like, it was bigger than I was as a baby, you know, like it's probably a 2 foot tall bear.
Right.
But that is like my most treasured keepsake of my childhood. Now it's in my kid's bed and right. Miles sleeps with it, but I'm super sappy. Occasionally I'll be like, the kids are at school and Lisa's at work, and I just pass by his room and I'll just go in and I'll give Teddy a quick little hug and a little smell, just because he still smells like my
right
childhood. And I'll just talk to him and I'll be like, thanks for taking care of Miles, and
yeah.
I hope you're well, and I know I don't talk to you anymore. So I'm revealing a very embarrassing thing.
No,
but it's, you know, it really, I truly feel like a sort of Calvin and Hobbes kind of like, that Teddy, he's alive to me. Like he doesn't feel like a
it's one
animal.
Of the constants through yeah. your life, that yeah. all these things have changed and yeah. you've gone, you know, to New York and to sure. LA and got married and had kids. But like, one of the things that's always been there
yeah.
is your, yeah. your teddy bear. And I think yeah. starting those traditions early, you know, yeah. start them early. So I yeah. think there's a lot of fun things you can do, and maybe we will do a countdown yeah. next season, because I think we're pretty locked in yeah. for this season. But I think the idea of, like, you know, because there's so many, you know, people who, you know, there's someone who's pregnant right now, yeah. you know, who's listening or is about to have a kid or just had a kid, and they want to start these traditions. And I think yeah. it'd be fun to sort of come up with some fun ideas.
I like that.
So maybe we'll do that next season, which I'll be looking forward to. But Derek, you know, the countdown that we're doing today, and you shared earlier that we're doing a top five.
Yes.
Because we get to do something very, very cool
mm-hmm.
later this week. But our countdown today has to do with foods and bevs.
Yes.
And as we were like coming up with like our lists, or me personally, as I was coming up with my list, I was starting to think about like beverages that would like pair really nicely with some of these dishes that yeah. I was learning about. And it became very clear to me that Hallmark Channel wines feel like something really, really great to go with a lot of these
good pairings,
dishes,
yeah.
a lot of these pairings, because yeah. what's really great about Hallmark Channel wines is that they have red, you know, mm-hmm. red's a pretty safe wine yeah, yeah. to get, yeah. but they've also got a sparkling wine called mm-hmm. Sparkle, and they have a white wine as well. So like, whether you're looking at a dessert, whether you're looking at something more savory or something you just want to like celebrate with, you know, at a party, Hallmark Channel wines has got you covered, and,
yeah.
and you're pulling out
I've got the Holly one right here, the red wine blend, and it's from Lodi, California.
Mm.
So we like that. We like to support
great region,
California.
Yeah.
yeah, absolutely. And these are all great. Should we try one of them?
We should. I remember trying Holly last year and I really, really loved it.
Yeah.
So let's open this one up for sure.
I'd love to also maybe try Sparkle.
Do you want to try Sparkle?
I like a sparkling, kind of more bubbly.
Oh, you are.
Wine.
Something yeah. that sort of like bites back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what's fun about sparkling yeah. wine, is that like, I feel like, you know, most drinks are like, I just taste this thing, right?
Sure.
But like a sparkling wine,
it's an experience.
It's sort of like, I'm here.
Yes,
and
it is.
I'm a part of this thing, and we are in it together.
Can we talk about how cool this is? That
oh.
the Hallmark Crown logo is on the top of the cork.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen a logo on top of a cork
before. I've never noticed that before.
That's really cool.
I love that.
All right, here we go.
So, you know, as Eric's opening up the Holly, I think one thing we have to shine a light on are the names of these wines,
yes.
right? Like, you know, Hallmark Channel has wines for throughout the year, you know? So if you are a wine drinker, you're definitely going to want to make sure you sign up for the club, because they're going to hook you up all year long. But, you know, what I love when it comes to the holiday season and Hallmark Channel wines are these names.
Woo! Oh, dude, it's all on the cork too. Hallmark
Whoa.
Channel, the heart of Christmas, hallmarkchannelwines.com. That is great.
I love it.
Love some cork advertising.
Me too. I mean, taking advantage of all the real estate,
yeah.
which is brilliant.
That's right.
But the names of these wines, like you just opened up Holly, which
yep.
is the red blend, but they also have Jolly.
Makes sense.
Which is a white wine blend. And this one's from Lodi as well. They say that their Jolly White Wine blend is the perfect pairing with an original Hallmark Channel movie, obviously. This lighthearted limited release, ooh, so you're going to want to make sure you get on this ASAP, has notes of peach, pineapple, and tropical fruit. It's crisp, clean, delicious, and refreshing.
It's got a great logo on the front,
too. Oh, my gosh. Anything that's like a red vehicle with a Christmas tree on top, I'm in.
I feel like I buy wines more on the label 100%. Than the taste.
Name and label.
Yes.
Like if it's like apothecary, yes, you know, devilish, you know, rustic guy.
Yeah.
Like,
do you want some of the red here?
100% okay. I want the red. I remember trying this this holly last year and it was just delicious. What's the flavor profile in this?
It says it say here, the Hallmark Channel red wine blend is, let's find out where it is. Okay. Yes. This festive limited release, ooh, has notes of blackberries, plums, and cherries, with layers of dark, delicious fruit, rich, fruity, and with a long, smooth finish.
Ooh, I love the way you read that.
Holly from Hallmark Channel Wines. That's pretty good.
For any occasion.
For any occasion.
That's amazing. I feel like I need to reread Jolly and do it in something that, like... like a SoCal bro sort of thing.
This is from Lodi, California,
bro. Where you got
all right, here we go.
All right, we're cheersing. Cheers.
Ding.
Cling.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Ooh, smells good.
Mm-hmm. That is delicious.
That is a really great wine.
That is so good.
It is just as good as I remember.
Really good.
From last season.
Really good.
I feel like this, you could drink this, like if you're hanging out with friends on a Saturday afternoon sort of vibe. You could have this with dinner.
Definitely.
Sort of vibe, or like after the kids have gone to bed and it's you're just looking to like chill out.
Wine,
8 o'clock, your favorite Hallmark Channel movies have come on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night with Countdown to Christmas. And you're going to want to cozy up by the fire with a nice glass of holly. It's so, so good.
It's, you know what I like about it is that it does feel fruity. Sometimes a wine, and I may have talked about this before, sometimes a wine feels very dry to me. Mm. And some people like that. Like they'll describe a wine as like it has...
like earthy.
A very earthy, kind of earthy vibe.
Wines, yeah.
That's not really for me. I like to have more of the flavor. And this feels to me like it's got just enough kind of... it's a red wine blend, but it reminds me a little bit of a Montepulciano.
Ooh.
You like
is that Italian?
It is, I think so. I would assume so. Montepulciano.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it's definitely Italian.
Yes, but it's similar to that, where it has a very kind of fruity flavor to it.
Yeah, it's absolutely delicious. And maybe you're not a red wine person, you're more of a white wine person, so you can definitely check out
Jolly.
Or if you're celebrating something this holiday season, you know, we just talked about these people who might have had a child or might be celebrating a family member who's pregnant or maybe gotten engaged. A lot of people get engaged at the holiday season. Definitely check out Sparkle, because you're going to pop the cork on this, you're going to pop a good time. So this is their sparkling wine variety, and all you have to do to get this full selection, or just a single bottle, if that's your vibe, is go to HallmarkChannelWines.com, and you are going to make your holiday season festively delicious. No matter what you're looking to pair with, they have got you covered this holiday season.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Speaking of delicious things...
let's get to our delicious list.
Let's get to our delicious list.
Let's hit that music, Chris. Yes. All right. It's time, everybody. Here we go. This is going to be our top five international foods and beverages to try at the holidays.
Yes.
All right. I need to go to my list. I was still looking at your list.
You're like, Danny's list sounds delicious. Yeah, I'll pick all five of those. And I'm like, Eric, those are mine.
I'll be honest. I didn't put these in any particular order.
Oh, really?
They're all things I would like to try.
Okay.
And there's maybe one that I'll save for number one, but like the rest of them are sort of all pretty evenly... I'm interested.
You bring up a great point, because as I was putting together this list, I'm like, well, I'm kind of basing my interest off of this item based off of what somebody else
is saying,
thinks of it, or that specific recipe that I found. But I think the idea of these items, and for a lot of them, I love the tradition behind these items, which I'm excited to talk about as well. And I've got a healthy mix of foods and bevs, so let's dig in.
Here we go. My first one is going to be Gulwein. Gulwein from Germany.
Ooh.
Gulwein.
How do you spell it?
G-L-U with an umlaut.
Okay.
H-W-E-I-N.
Gulwein.
Gulwein.
Okay.
Gulwein from Germany. And it says, when it comes to Christmas time in Germany, a sip of Gulwein is all it takes to get people into the holiday spirit. Mm. Glühwein is what is most commonly known as mulled wine.
Okay.
And is introduced to the wine-loving masses can be traced all the way back to the 1400s. Red wine, cinnamon, cloves, and orange are what make this winter seasonal drink loved the world over. Other versions of Glühwein include Glögg in Scandinavia.
Yes.
Vinchard. No, it would be Vinchard in France.
Okay.
And, oh God, this one's hard. Bischop Swinge in the Netherlands.
Ooh.
Bischop Swinge.
Okay.
Are all versions essentially of mulled wine.
Sounds so good.
Now, you've had mulled wine because it wasn't that on your like favorite list?
Yeah, I made it a couple of years ago on Thanksgiving because a good friend of ours from the UK, I reached out to her because I was like, man, I feel like over in Europe and the UK, they do holiday beverages so well. And because it gets cold over there,
sure,
much colder than it gets here in Southern California, I feel like they lean into warm beverages a lot more than we do here. And so I'd reached out to her and she shared like a couple great recipes. And so I cooked up like a UK version of mulled wine, which included a lot of the stuff
there you go.
That you threw in there. But it's a process.
I thought the cinnamon and cloves is what that felt like a lane that I'd like to go down.
I love cinnamon. Me too. So much. My favorite cereal growing up.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Sure, yeah.
I at gymnastics with my daughter the other day, there was a kid with a Ziploc bag full of Imperial? CTC, no, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. He did not acknowledge me.
You were that dad.
I was like,
hey, get some Cinnamon Toast Crunch there, eh?
I thought he was going to give me like a nod, be like, you know it, baby. Yeah. But he literally just kept playing Roblox or whatever he was playing. He's like, okay, old man.
So funny.
Keep walking by
That's
me.
That's good.
Could have been so French Toast Crunch. Maybe
that was my that was my number five. Glühwein.
So you and I are sort of starting out kind of similar here.
Ooh, okay.
I wanted to give my number five slot to Nordic beverages, specifically Christmas soda or Julmust.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can. And I actually pulled this up how to say it
because
I wanted to make sure I got it right. This is how you say it in Sweden. Here we go.
Julmust.
Julmust.
So it's spelled J-U-L-M-U-S-T and Jul is for Yule.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be some sort of connection.
Exactly. So the two beverages I want to call out are Christmas soda, which is Julmust.
And where's this from? Sweden?
This is from Sweden.
Okay.
Yeah. There are other places they drink it, but specifically we're talking about Sweden. And this article from ScandinaviaStandard.com says that every November in Sweden, a caramel-colored beverage materializes in the soft drink aisle, pushing aside the usual favorites and giving Coke a marketing migraine.
Whoa.
And this magical non-alcoholic drink is Christmas soda. So would you believe it, Eric? I was able to procure us some Christmas soda.
No way.
And I brought it for us to taste test here today.
Oh, so man.
Let me grab it out of my... I was hiding it here next to all the goodies. So this
comes
to us.
Oh, look at that.
It's from a company called Grandpa Lundqvist. Lundqvist. I kept trying to practice this over the weekend. And I was like, why does my brain not want to say...
Grandpa Lundqvist.
Grandpa Lundqvist. Christmas soda, a Scandinavian Julmust. So I'm going to give a bottle to you. Now, I was doing some research into this. Oh, okay, good. So when I was reading about this online, they're like, be careful. It's very high in caffeine. But this one I got is caffeine-free.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to be safe. But it's got 100% pure cane sugar. I did bring some bottle openers for us so we can pop these. Oh,
it's twist off.
Don't need it.
As right. You're saying.
Just in case. So cheers. I've never tried this before. So this will be our first time trying.
I love soda. So this, I'm excited.
Who loves soda? Kel loves soda.
That's good.
What are those flavor notes that
I'm
getting
in there? Okay, let me get it again.
Okay, I'm going to read the back. The ingredients are pure cane sugar, natural hops and malt, which are produced from barley, citric acid. This is delicious.
Yeah,
this is so good.
Almost, it's like Coke and 7-Up because there's definitely a citrusy thing in there, but it also feels like a dark soda like a Pepsi or Coke.
There's some flavor in there that you don't taste in sodas a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like when it first hits, it kind of tastes like Coke.
Right.
But there's something in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's not root beer.
Fruity.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's that citrus.
I've read in the comments that people really love when you and I just taste food and sip drinks on the show and just smack our lips. So I'm sure people are really loving this segment. But I'm sure people who are in Sweden know what that flavor is.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those people who's, you know, in the Nordic part of the world and you know what the flavor is that we're trying to put our finger on, it might be citrus. It might be orange.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I read through this article that gives us like what the recipe is, it would tell me. But I want people to reach out and tell us.
I like that. That is
what it is.
I'm going to drink this through the rest of the segment.
Yeah. So that's Christmas soda was one of the items I wanted to highlight. And then the other one was one that you just talked about, which was the glögg.
Oh, yeah,
which is like a spiced, sometimes alcoholic mulled wine or spirit associated especially with Sweden, but it also can be found in Denmark, Norway, and Finland. I just love, you know, this idea of like in the cold, you know, winter months, having this delicious, like warm drink that's going to like warm you up from the inside with cinnamon and cardamom and all these, you know, citrus elements mixed into a savory beverage. So I'm going to go with Nordic beverages as my number five.
I like that. I think that's great. And I am definitely going to drink this the rest of the episode here. Okay. My next one is, let's go to one of my foods.
Mm.
Let's go to this one. Oh, that's a drink. Hang on. Okay, let's do this.
All right.
Let's do this one. And you're going to say I'm cheating, but it's... I feel like it's
a hamburger.
It is not a hamburger, but you're close. You are close. And it is going to be, because we're talking about international foods and beverages that people eat at the holidays.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with the delicacy commonly referred to as KFC. In Japan, it is tradition at the holidays for the Japanese culture to go out and get American chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And it's like such a big thing. Like it is a real, it's not just anecdotal. It is massively a tradition in Japan. And I would like to try some Japanese American KFC at the holidays.
Do you think that their KFC chicken tastes different than our KFC chicken?
I bet a little bit.
Mm.
I bet it's somewhat similar, but I bet there is something that just feels different. What's interesting is they said that the Japanese now order their Christmas chicken weeks in advance.
Whoa.
Because it sells out so much. And it's amazing. They usually grab cake and champagne when they pick up their orders.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
KFC, cake and champagne.
Sounds
at the
like a party to me.
That sounds pretty great to me.
And if you're here in the U.S., you can duplicate that with some Hallmark Channel wine.
Sparkling wine.
Get yourself some KFC. Go by the grocery store, get a cake, and then order your sparkle.
Like
got your sparkling wine.
Like
you're
that.
All set.
Bada pretty bing, good.
Bada boom. See, I knew that these Hallmark Channel wines were going to pair very nicely with our selections here today.
Absolutely.
All right. Next for me is going to be an entree.
Okay.
And this is coming to us from Venezuela.
Mm.
And that item is pan de jamón. Now, Venezuela's pan de jamón is a sweet and savory bread that was born in a bakery in Caracas in 1905.
Okay.
It's traditionally served on Christmas Eve, although it's often available in bakeries throughout December. It's basically like a savory Swiss roll, the long loaf, which can also be made with phyllo pastry. It's filled with roasted ham, raisins, and green olives.
Wow.
You're making a face at me like, Danny, what in the world were you thinking with your
pan
de
jamón? I was so with you until the raisins. And I don't like... hate raisins, but I don't like raisins in anything.
I hear you.
If I'm going to eat a raisin, I like just a box.
You just want
box
that little old cardboard box.
Yeah.
And they're stuck
old
to the
maid
side
or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Is it called old maid? Is it?
It's like old. You're picturing the same thing. Like
I know
a little red box, yellow circle.
Someone in my neighborhood for Halloween would definitely
give those
out.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's mean.
When I was a kid. But I don't
know. Green olives and the roasted ham sounds
delicious. Now, it often accompanies dishes such as halakas, which is boiled corn dough stuffed with meat, and dulce de la cosa, which is a sweet papaya dessert. Now, for an extra treat, they are suggesting that you add cheese to the pan de jamón. I don't know, something about like the savoriness of the ham mixed with a little bit of the sweet of the raisin with
the bite
of a green olive mixed with this like sweet bread.
And then put some cheese on it.
Put some cheese on the top. That sounds incredible.
Anything with cheese is going to be better.
Is immediately better. So I've never been to Venezuela. I've never heard of pan de jamón. But I love when people incorporate savory stuff into bread. Yes. Like stuffing it full of stuff just sounds like everything I want in the world. So that's going to be my number four is pan de jamón.
And what country was it from?
Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go here. I feel like this is kind of similar to the other one. I'm going to switch to this one. Okay.
It's going
to
be French fries.
Yeah. Because in Canada, they love to eat French fries at Christmas. No. Okay. Let's do this. This is called Uzvar. And it's from the Ukraine.
Ooh.
Uzvar. It says, Christmas Eve in the Ukraine wouldn't be the same without uzvar, a traditional drink made of dried fruits that are stewed, strained, and served cold.
Mm.
While in the olden days, the drink used to symbolize fertility and hopes for a sweet life, it originated as a health drink to help people overcome the common ailment of vitamin deficiency during the winter months.
Whoa.
So it actually like serves a health purpose, especially for those in sort of the northern part of the earth that don't get quite as much sun.
That's brilliant.
Over the winter. Wow. So yeah, that's called Uzvar. I just like it's fruity. We've already established I like fruity, and I like that it's cold. You know me, I'm not as much of a hot drink kind of guy.
That's true. Now, do they ever suggest like mixing in like a little bit of your favorite spirit or?
I'm sure you could. You could. I mean, yeah. I think anything with just a little bit of bourbon is going to be good.
A little bit of bourbon is going to spice it up. Yeah. Because I think of like the whiskey or something sort of playing off the sweet fruitiness. Yeah. Might be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Almost like a whiskey ginger.
I just actually introduced a friend who said he was like, I don't really like bourbon. And I was like, really? I was like, it's such a great drink. I wasn't pushing it on him, but he was like, yeah, I haven't really been able to get it.
Yeah.
And then I made him a apple cider with just a little bit of bourbon in it and a little cinnamon stick. And he was like, okay, this I can do.
I know what I'm going to be drinking while I'm Christmas caroling this year. That's brilliant. Good selection.
Uzvar
number from three. The Ukraine. All right. So I'm going to stick with this Latin vibe.
Okay. Here,
all right. And I'm going tamales.
Mm.
Specifically from Costa Rica.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Costa Rica?
No, I've not.
Costa Rica, amazing. I went there for work a few years ago. Their sort of national saying there is pura vida, which basically like translates to like pure life.
But, love that.
But the thing is like with pura vida, it's not about like words. It's more about like an essence. You know, like when you go to Hawaii, like aloha is a word which means like hello, goodbye, love. But like for them,
Italy, they have sprezzatura, which is this sort of like a casual way of living without trying too hard and enjoying the slowing down of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I feel like people like that have got it figured out.
Yeah. And in Costa Rica, everybody but America has got that figured out.
Can we get like a saying like that and less of a saying, more of like just a way of being?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I loved Costa Rica. They have so many microclimates there, which are incredible, from, you know, rainforest to anything. I think they have like every climate exists in Costa Rica. But what's amazing about the tamales and how they're a part of like Christmas is that they will have these tamale making parties leading up to Christmas. And usually the tamales are made in the hundreds to share with family and friends during the whole year. They are often given away as a present during the Christmas season.
Pause for a second.
Yeah.
Given away through the whole year. Does a tamale hold for, like, can you freeze a tamale?
You can freeze a tamale and then you can like eat it in like February.
Well, I love that.
So my sister-in-law, her family every year will make tamales, and now my brother-in-law is a part of it.
Yeah.
And they'll get together with her family and they'll gift us tamales for Christmas, and we put them in the freezer and we get beef, we get, you know,
that's great.
Chicken, cheese, whatever they're making. But yeah, so they're often given away as a present during the Christmas season, and the tamale is eaten. You can eat them at every time of day, but over there, oftentimes they will accompany them with a warm coffee or a sweet agua dulce, which is like their traditional like sugarcane drink down there. So I wanted to give a shout out to Costa Rica because it's just such great people there, such a welcoming culture, and I just love this idea of like everybody getting together for these like tamale making parties, and everyone's like, you know, wrapping them, doing the corn husk, because it's a process.
I wonder if
cornmeal and all that.
If it's similar to the American tradition of like making Christmas cookies, where like everybody gets in there and everybody helps out a little bit. And,
yeah,
you know,
I would imagine so.
As opposed to one person being like, I'm going to make the tamales. It is a more communal effort.
It's a communal thing. And then how beautiful that like not just during Christmas, but like, you know, when you get to like January, February, March, like you're pulling those tamales out of the freezer and you're thinking about the memories of being with those people. That's a tradition I feel like we could all start in some capacity, is like starting these like food making parties. And then obviously give them to your family members, but use them as a way to give back to others in need too. So I'm going to go.
Speaking of giving back.
Yes.
What a great transition to my next, my number two.
I'm excited.
This is going to be from Peru, which I've never been to Peru. But we would love to go to Peru. Spiced hot chocolate.
Ooh.
And it's described this way. Spiced hot chocolate is a Christmas tradition in Peru. Churches throughout the country take donations to make large quantities of it and also accept donations on panettone, an Italian holiday bread. And that says that it accepts donations on panettone.
Mm.
Do you think that that means that people put like money onto the bread?
I don't know.
It's an interesting way of wording it. It says, and also accept donations on panettone, an Italian holiday bread.
Mm.
The bread and hot chocolate is served to those less fortunate in the weeks leading up to Christmas. That's a cool, another tradition of giving back.
See, I love those traditions. Like, it not just being about the food, but the tradition
around it
that comes along with it. You know, and I that's what I realized as we were doing research into this, is that around the world, it's not just about the food item specifically.
Right.
It's about bringing people together. And it got me thinking. I was like, you know, you talked about Christmas cookies, but like, do we have anything here in America that is like everyone sort of comes together to like...
to give back?
To make this thing that it's like a community, or everyone like, you know, like they have Christmas crackers over in the UK, or they have like the Three Kings cake, you know, in Mexico, like where everyone like cuts a piece of cake. Do we have anything that feels sort of like communal like that here?
I mean, this is not exactly what you're talking about, but I do feel like one of the things that my family does every year is our church does boxes for Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And like Thanksgiving boxes, they have a turkey and, you know, all the sides and everything that they need for people that are less fortunate. And we do a thing where like basically the whole church goes out to the parking lot and there's like a massive, you know, conveyor belt of people, you know, making these boxes that they deliver around LA. And that feels somewhat like that, where like everybody's getting involved together to give to others, which feels nice.
Speaking of giving to others, we sort of, I think we alluded to this a little bit at the beginning of the episode, why we're doing a top five in this episode and not a top 10, because you and I are traveling down
a trip
to Memphis, Tennessee, to St. Jude Hospital, and we're going to record an episode.
We're very excited. There. Yeah. So we're going down to Memphis, where St. Jude Hospital is, which I think we've talked about St. Jude in the past.
That you've
been
there.
I think we talked about it just last episode, maybe.
I can't recall.
I can't remember.
No.
But St. Jude is a great hospital, children's hospital, that obviously their big thing is they don't charge the families not a penny for housing, food, or medical care.
Right.
And so they're a great organization that we're happy to partner with. And we're going to go down to their studios on like at the hospital campus.
Yep.
And we're going to record. We got some fun guests that are coming on.
Yes.
And we're doing like sort of an on location.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Episode. It's going to be very cool.
With an actual like studio audience.
Yeah.
We have staff members from St. Jude who are going to be there in the studio. I think we could tease maybe one of our guests who's going to be there. Do you want to tease
I don't know if we should.
I don't know
if we should. Yeah, let's say that. That's a good tease.
We'll leave it there, but it's just so exciting that the people at St. Jude, the amazing people, invited us to come down and to be there. I've never been to Memphis before. I know you actually have been to this campus.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to just see what they're doing down there, to get to meet with the doctors and nurses who are doing incredible work down there for families who are going through challenging times. So make sure you come back later this week on Thursday to hear that episode. It's going to be a special one.
And
my heart is very grateful for the opportunity. So
and that will be a different top five. We're not talking about foods and beverages at St. Jude.
Yeah. Who wants some? we've got, should we say what our theme will be in the next one? Should we tease
it? We'll save it. We'll save it.
Just give the people reason to come back. I like that. Okay, but look forward to that one. It's coming Thursday. All right, so my number two. Have you ever had Ethiopian food?
No.
I did. That's right. What did your friend say? Your
pedestrian
palate, Eric,
I'm
over
lucky
here.
If I leave North America.
You're like, no, that has never happened for me. So I have had Ethiopian food before.
Okay.
The first time I had Ethiopian food, I was in high school.
Okay.
And I went on a missions trip with my youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this thing, it was through a group called Center for Student Missions.
Okay.
And every night we would go to a different like cultural restaurant. So, you know, it was like not only like getting us out of our comfort zone in terms of like going out and, you know, working with homeless population, yep, or just there was various service projects we were doing, but every night we would try something new.
Love that.
And we did Ethiopian food one night and I fell in love with this food and I really loved the dining style. The restaurant we went to, and my understanding was when we ate, is that culturally when you eat in Ethiopia or you eat at an Ethiopian restaurant, it's all sort of served on this big round platter.
Okay.
And they have this like
family style.
Yeah. But they have this like bread product.
Okay.
And you will sort of like, you don't have forks or knives. You basically like rip off a piece of the bread and you sort of like grab.
As like tongs.
Use it and then you eat it. But okay, the first bite you feed to the person across from you.
Okay.
And so us being a bunch of like 14, 15 year olds, right, we're like, what looks like the thing that's least appetizing? I'm going to pick that for you and you're going to eat it. Yeah. But there wasn't a single item on that platter that wasn't just delectable. And I fell in love with Ethiopian food. So I wanted to give my number two slot to an Ethiopian dish called Rooster Dodo Wat.
Say that one more time.
Rooster Dodo Wat. Okay. And now what it is so Orthodox.
What is it?
What is it? Orthodox Ethiopians celebrate Christmas or Ghana on the 7th of January.
Okay.
And this, they have like a 43-day fast, which begins on the 25th of November and is broken with Ethiopia's national dish, Rooster Dodo Wat, which is a fiery chicken stew with hard-boiled eggs.
How long did you say that fast was?
That would be 43 days.
Huh.
Long fast.
Ooh.
It's a very slow fast.
Yeah.
And they say that the key to a great wat is the B-E-R-B-E-R-E, Burberry?
Sure.
Berber.
Oh,
Berber.
John looks like he loves eat. I've been watching John like inching He's towards nodding. The mic. He wants to chime in on some Ethiopian food.
All right.
So it's an Ethiopian spice.
Okay.
Mix, which is made from fenugreek, cardamom, and coriander.
Okay.
As well as plenty of clarified butter. So as they say, forget the cutlery for this one. Rooster Dodo Wat is best mopped up with injera.
Did I
say that right?
Injera.
Injera, yeah. Which is Ethiopia's beloved fermented flatbread.
Okay.
So I looked at this dish. I read about the dish. It just sounded so delicious. And if this is the item that they are choosing to end a 43-day fast, you know it's got to be good. John, have you ever had this before?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good restaurants, Ethiopian restaurants on Fairfax.
Oh.
Anybody in LA, you know, that I forgot what the cross streets are, but that's all, like little Ethiopia around
but
there.
I've got their phone number here if you want to give them a call. But yeah, I love Ethiopian food. I think I've been to a couple restaurants here in Southern California. And I went to one in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, too. And it's just, it feels very much like a communal experience where because there's that sort of sharing aspect that you don't feel like, oh, I'm in my little bubble over here. It just feels like it's a very open sort of dining area.
Yeah.
And it just feels like everyone's sort of there together, which I really, really love. So that's my number two.
That sounds good, actually. That one sounds good to me.
Maybe we'll try it come January.
Sure.
Yeah. We're going to start fasting.
Nope. I can't.
We are training for half marathons. Yes. We can't be fasting at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. My number one.
Yes.
Is something that I will admit I have had before.
Okay.
Latkes.
Oh, great choice.
From Israel. Latkes is a potato cake fried until it's golden and crispy. Mm. It's a traditional food served during the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah.
Yes.
As Hanukkah celebrates the miracle of one night's worth of oil lasting for 8 nights, many of the foods eaten during Hanukkah are fried. In addition to latkes, sometimes served with applesauce. I've had applesauce on latkes. Very good.
Mm.
Or another sweet topping, which is called sufganiyot. Sufganiyot, S-U-F-G-A-N, Sufganiyot. Sufganiyot.
I don't know if I've ever heard my family talk about this on Hanukkah.
It's fried jelly donuts.
Ooh, why are we not?
And then
we've never had these at Hanukkah.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
And then also sometimes served with brisket.
Yes, brisket is very, very popular on Passover and Hanukkah. Yep.
That's in my wheelhouse.
Oh my gosh.
Fried, it's a potato. Maybe put some meat with it.
Yes.
That's where I want to be living.
Do you want to have a lot of latkes?
I do.
They are so delicious. Yeah. And a little sour cream. A lot of people like sour cream.
Yeah, I've had it with sour
cream latkes
too, yeah.
And it's got to be, my latke's got to have a sufficient amount of crisp.
Oh, yeah.
On it. Sometimes you get a latke that maybe hasn't been fried a little too much. It's a little bit more gelatinous.
Mushy
latke. I like a nice crispy.
It should, you
crispy
should,
on the
you
outside.
Should hear it crack.
100%.
When you bite through it, yeah.
Mm, I love you threw latkes in there. That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've reached my number one.
Yeah.
But before I reveal that, did want to remind you guys to follow us on social media. We are at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, Threads. We are also at Xmas Pod on the X. And if you're loving what you're hearing here and you want even more content, we are going to share our 6 through 10 food items in a bonus episode that will come out this Friday. Plus, I think there's 12, 13 bonus episodes already waiting for you on our Patreon, or you can subscribe. You can become a paid subscriber on Apple and Spotify. Please make sure you rate and review. That ensures that more people discover our show. All right, here we go. My number one.
Yeah.
Now, this is an item, like you shared, that I've had before, but I don't think I've ever had this version of this. And it's going to be pigs in a blanket.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love pigs in a blanket.
Or as they call them over in the UK, kilted soldiers.
Kilted soldiers. Do you know what's so crazy? Is I actually heard that the other day. I was watching a video with the guys from Dude Perfect.
Oh, okay.
They bought a Premier League team.
Did they really?
Yeah, like not alone, but they like bought it with an ownership group.
Yeah.
And so they were doing a video and I was watching it with my kids and they were talking to the British soccer players and they were asking them like the different words in American versus what they are in the UK. And they
said kilted soldiers?
Yeah, kilted soldiers.
Once I saw kilted soldiers, I was like,
that's a great name.
Henceforth, that needs to be what.
Where are the kilted soldiers?
Exactly. Here I am. Yes. Guy comes running in a kilt. But we all know pigs in a blanket, right?
Yeah.
But the version that I grew up with is different than the version they do in the UK. When my mom would make pigs in a blanket, she would get the Pillsbury crescent rolls and do like hot dogs in the middle. And if you're really fancy, you get like sliced like cheese. Cut it in half, cut open your hot dog, put the cheese inside, then melt it. But the version that I see them serving over in the UK and Ireland consists of like small sausages, which are usually chipolatas, which are wrapped in bacon.
Mm.
So they're not in bread.
Better than ours.
They are wrapped in bacon and they traditionally are accompanied like roast turkey in a Christmas dinner and they're served on a side dish. Like we talked about this recently that I love deviled eggs.
Yeah.
I love finger foods that are savory and just have tons of flavor. And when I see this version of kilted soldiers, I want them. And I need them in my life. I've never had them. Need to make it happen.
What if you had a kilted soldier in a blanket? So then you get the sausage wrapped in the bacon, but that's inside of a crescent roll.
That sounds like a dream.
Doesn't that sound good?
That has to exist.
Kilted soldiers in a blanket.
Oh my, I'm in. If it doesn't exist,
we need to market this.
Let's market this.
Kilted
make it
soldiers in a blanket.
In a blanket. I'm in. But I saw that. I was like, how have I never had that version?
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to change that this
that
holiday season.
Awesome.
So that's my number one.
I love it. I love it. That was our list.
Yeah.
Top 5 international foods.
I'm so hungry.
That did make me hungry for sure. I will say I've been enjoying the Christmas soda the whole time.
It's actually really delicious. And
it's
I love the little design on the front too, that it's got this like sort of Christmas scene with the snowflakes and
very
stuff.
On brand.
It definitely sets the vibe. Yep.
Definitely. All right, folks, but that's going to wrap it up for us here. Make sure you come back later this week for our special St. Jude's episode, which is going to be great. But let's close it how we always do, Dan.
Yeah.
By saying Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
We will see you on the next one. Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya.